Hi, and thank you for listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Charlotte Kniep, and we're talking about being redeemed through Christ this month, or to be reclaimed from sin through his love for us. And if you haven't taken the time to do this yet, I want to really recommend that you spend a few minutes today or sometime later this week thinking about and writing down all of the things that Christ has done for you. What has he forgiven you of? What has he sacrificed for you? And what exactly has he helped you through? Eric Thompson knows about this concept all too well. Just a few years ago, he was in the thick of a drug addiction and one night experienced a terrible overdose. And because of that, he ended up falling from a third-story balcony, and he sustained many injuries and needed to learn how to walk again and had to get over $500,000 in reconstructive surgery. All of this is portrayed in his video, which is number 12 in the Mormon Channel online series, 12 Steps to Change. And Eric is here with us today to talk about his experience. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
So in your video, it starts out with you driving to a party, and we hear your voiceover say that at some point you knew that your addiction to drugs had gone too far, that you felt like you might need a recovery program at this time in your life. And yet you still continued on to the party where you had this experience. Can you tell me, I guess, two things? What made you feel like you had reached a point where you needed help? And then what made you keep going after that?
Well, there are those two elements to addiction. And I feel like not everyone with addiction feels as strongly as I did about it as far as the urge to turn around. But at some point, the pain of the problem gets to the point where there's just this little voice inside that says, we're not safe. You probably ought to turn around. And it's like my heart said that, but my body said, no, we can't. You have to go there. You have to do this. And that's the part of addiction where I've heard it said before that addiction surrenders later power to choose. And so as I went through the process of, I guess, becoming an addict, I surrendered my power to choose every time I chose to use. And it had come to a point where I really didn't have the ability to turn my car around that night. It had got to the point where it was so hard to make that decision. I knew in my heart that I probably was in danger, but I didn't have the power to turn that car around.
Mm. I've done a lot of research just through work and through the different programs we do with the church about addiction, and it is interesting how it's such a mental shift from, it's a rewiring of your brain almost, and it affects you physically and emotionally and spiritually and all those things. And I loved how you played yourself in the video series. That wasn't typical for the rest of the 12-step videos. How did that feel to go back and relive that experience again?
It was not typical. You're right. And they told me so. But the director said that he would rather me portray myself than to try to tell an actor how to emotionally portray me, because my story was so unique, is what they had said. And they ended up saying that I was a great actor, but then again, it was my life. So
right.
It wasn't much acting. I was scared at first, but the whole process from the beginning of the video shoot and even before then, just being invited to do it, I felt good about it. And I just had this feeling like this is something I can do, and it's not beyond my ability to help them with. And so I'm happy to do it. And, you know, it was hard only because I'd never acted in anything ever. And I thought, you know, how can I do this? I don't know. I guess I was more concerned at how the message would be portrayed than about me, you know, outing myself as an addict to the world. Not that I don't care who knows my story, but I'm not concerned about the social ramifications of people knowing what I went through. I just wanted to get a pure message out there that recovery is possible. And as soon as I trusted the director and the people I was working with, it became a lot easier. And I knew that they were, that we were doing something that was meant to be. It was very clear pretty early on.
And it's a really raw, very real portrayal. And I don't think anyone could watch that and say, oh, this is puffery or this is sugar-coated from the way it really happened. It just seems very, very painful. But then also it provides a lot of hope in the way your story turned out as well.
Absolutely. And it scared me, Charlotte. The one scene where we have the drugs on the table and the director asked me, how do I make it look to make it look authentic? And I told him, and I thought to myself, I should not know how to do this. I should not know how this
but
looks.
You did. Yeah.
But I did know. And I had to stop at that point. We had shot the film all day, and I had to stop at that point just before we went forward. And the director said, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm fine. I just need a second. And I just apologized to everyone there because my life had become so much different since then. And I told them, I can't believe that this is my life, that what we're filming right now happened in my life, even though it was only a couple years ago, because I feel like I've changed so much. I'm not a perfect person, but I definitely am not in the place that I was back then. And it just kind of brought it full circle. And I almost had an anxiety attack because it was so real looking. And I remember looking at the monitor of what was happening live. And the person next to me who administers the drug in the film, he looked evil. He looked sinister because of the lighting and everything else. And I thought, I don't know what this is, if it's movie magic or what's happening. But the director could tell that I was scared, and so he stopped the filming again. And I said, no, I'm okay. I just caught a glimpse of your monitor, and it freaked me out. And this is my life. I shouldn't be scared about it. But I feel, like you said, it was very raw, and it was effective. And I remember thinking at that time, if this is my story and it scares me, then I think it's going to get through enough to people who aren't usually affected by things. And it may be more effective than I thought.
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard a lot of positive comments from viewers who have seen your story, and all the stories strung together, I think, make a huge impact on people. What kind of response have you gotten when people see the video?
Well, it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I have one friend in particular that I was telling another friend about this morning, in preparation for this podcast. I just, you know, was relating to my friend this experience, that someone found me on Facebook, and he had said that we had a couple of mutual friends, but he added me not because of that, but because he had come to a low point in his life and he'd stumbled upon the video series, and he watched my video about 30 to 40 times in one night. And it was that night that he decided to begin his recovery from his addiction. And he is in recovery now. And I don't credit myself with that, but I really feel like my story was a vehicle to carry that feeling to a person like him who needed to be touched at that time. And I told my friend this morning, my goal in this and the way I kept my head wrapped around it during the process was that if it could influence just one person's life for the better, then I would do it. Then it would be worth it. And however many, you know, tens of thousands of people saw the video, I didn't care. As long as it helped one person recover, and so that they maybe didn't make the choices that I made, then it would be worth it. And there's my one person. I think it will be more than one person, but that's just an example of I was blown away when he told me how many times he watched it in a row.
Right.
And how effective it seemed to be. So
that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's got to feel really good, too.
It does, yeah. It's good.
I love in the video where, I guess, you're in the hospital and you say that you had to learn how to walk. I've seen the video several times, and as I was watching it a couple of days ago in preparation for this interview, it really struck me the symbolism of you learning how to walk again is a lot like, you know, the first time people learn to walk is as children, as babies, they're starting life. And you learning how to walk again physically, but also spiritually with the Savior, is about starting a new life, a new chapter of your life. Our show is all about being redeemed today. What does being redeemed mean to you?
To me, being redeemed means being deemed as worth it by our Creator. And I feel like I felt a lack of that in my life previous to the experience that I had in the hospital. And what the video depicts is me physically learning to walk again. What it doesn't depict is the day that I knew that I was worth it, that I was an individual being helped by something larger than myself. And consequently, it was a day where I tried to get down on my knees to pray, but I couldn't. I was just feeling so horrible in the hospital, and I finally had got past so much of the physical pain that the emotional pain started to set in. And I just felt so ashamed. How could I do this to myself, to my family? How could I make these decisions? What happened? And what can I do now? I can't even walk. And I just remember feeling so much emotional pain that I knew that the only thing that could help me was to pray. And so, as I have since I was a little kid, I tried to get out of bed to kneel and pray, and I couldn't. And I struggled, and I cried, and then I swung my legs over the side of the bed and bowed my head and prayed. And before I said anything, I just felt this, I can't describe it. It's just like this light washed over me, and I just knew that I was okay. And I felt almost words in my head say, "Eric, it's okay." And my immediate thought was, "How can this be okay?" And I heard the words, "Well, you're still following the plan for your life." And again, I questioned, how is this the plan for my life? I can't even walk. I'm more hurt than I've ever been. But I really feel like that was a turning point where I knew that I had been helped, absolutely. And my doctors, that was about 2 weeks into my hospital stay, and my doctors kept telling me how much better I had been doing based on where they thought I should be compared to where I was, and how amazing that was, and how great my recovery had been up to that point, given my injuries. But it wasn't until the day that I spent alone with my higher power that I realized that he was the one who had helped me, and that it was amazing that I was recovering that fast, and that it was on purpose because he loved me, and not just by chance.
What would you say to someone who might be at a similar low point, who feels like they've done too much, they've sinned too badly to be able to come back? What would you say to them?
I would say, think of a time when you felt love in your life. And keep thinking of that until you have it in your mind. And forget everything else that you've done that would tell you that you're not worth loving. And grasp onto that love and hold it until you can get yourself to a place where you're making happier choices. Because I feel like deep down we all know what we can do to make our lives better. But sometimes, and especially in addiction, we don't have the physical strength to do it on our own. And I didn't. And I knew I needed help. And I got the help that I thought I needed. It wasn't in the way that I ever would have wanted, I don't think. But I feel like there is a way to reach out. And the biggest obstacle to that is shame. So I would say focus on times that you have felt loved in your life and try to get the shame out of the way. Because there's no shame in reaching out to people that love you. There's no shame in reaching up to someone who loves you. And that may prevent you from going to a place that would put you in danger. And I'm here to tell you that life can be better. And you just have to take a step towards love and away from being afraid and ashamed. And just know that you definitely, I mean, this has been said a lot, but you're not alone. No one's alone. I would say that if I've isolated myself in addiction, I'm the one that's isolated myself because I thought that I wasn't worthy of reaching out to other people, or that I was so far gone that I couldn't make it back. But that's not true. And no one is ever so far gone that they can't take a positive step and another positive step. And sometimes it's hour by hour and other times it's day by day. But all of those positive steps add up to great things.
Absolutely. I love what you said about shame. There is no shame in asking for help and saying, I can't do this.
Right.
In fact, there's a tremendous amount of pride that you should have that you're at a point where you realize, I know myself and I know that I can't do this on my own. So thank you so much for being here today. Really
you're
appreciate
welcome.
It. So again, to watch Eric's story and the other inspiring 12-step videos, just visit mormonchannel.org/12steps to change. And be sure to share them with your families or friends who might need to have a little lift at this point in their lives. And our quote of the day comes from Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, who is an apostle and a leader in the LDS Church. And he said, however late you think you are, however many chances you think you have missed, however many mistakes you feel you have made or talents you think you don't have, or however far from home and family and God you feel you have traveled, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement. Thank you so much for listening today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.